time now for a special encounter here on Bot Radio Network. Here's your host for today, station manager Paul Sublett.
Good afternoon and welcome to Encounter. I'm Paul Sublett, your host, and we have a great program. It's kind of a sad program, but it's a great information program that you need to have for your daily life. Today in studio we have with us Mr. Stephen Black, who what is your position? President?
Executive Director
of First On Ministries, a ministry designed especially to reach out to homosexuals who need to be saved, just like the rest of us.
Or people struggling in the church with their identity and sexuality.
Right.
Yeah.
So, but we're not going to talk so much about the First On Ministries because we've got a really important issue we need to talk about in this day and time. And I'm pretty nervous about this group that started up. Tell us about the Revoice and what it is they're trying to accomplish.
Yeah, Revoice was a conference in July of this last year. It was held in St. Louis at a Presbyterian Church of America, PCA, at Memorial Presbyterian Church. And that's, you know, for folks that know what the PCA, that's supposed to be the conservative, Bible-believing church of the Presbyterians. And what you have is the president, Nate Collins, and their worship leader, Gregory Coles, and people like Preston Sprinkle, there's the other speakers that they had, even Karen Swallow, and people connected to the Southern Baptist Church, the ERLC, all these people that came together to give offerings like Queer Treasure in Heaven, Queering the Church, bringing the idea that LGBTQ plus, and people need to pay attention to that plus sign, that plus sign means something, and that these people, they're repackaging it with the idea that they are legitimate entities, because according to Mark Yarhouse's white paper on sexuality, Christianity, and gender, that they are a minority group called a sexual minority group, and that the church must receive LGBTQ people into their churches as anybody else, the same kind of propaganda as race and gender, but now they want to come in and be known as gay Christians and accept that Christians should put the LGBTQ before Christ. And I find that personally blasphemous.
Yeah.
And so this is what's happening.
Let me say really quickly for the people who are listening to our program today, the use of the word queer and queering is not your words or mine. These are the words they are using.
That's exactly
right. They wanted those words forbidden at one time, and now they bring those words back in on their own. And when they're talking about themselves, they don't want the word used. But when they're talking about bringing it into the church, they use those strong words for emphasis about what they're trying to accomplish.
That's correct. And what it is, it's kind of saturating and dumbing down the culture with the idea that queer, or the idea of queering, is loving anything with a heart and that it should be acceptable. And even when they had a workshop on queer theology, and if people did their homework and understood what that was, they would be appalled that this is being taught in a Presbyterian church.
Okay, and we needed to use those words and entitle those programs with those words so our listeners would understand what they're talking about. But because there are children in the audience with their parents, we're not going to use those words anymore for the remainder of this broadcast.
Yes.
But understand that these people don't care. They don't care if your kids hear it. In fact, they want your kids to hear it, to the fact that they teach it in public schools all the way to kindergarten.
They're normalizing it. They're normalizing this LGBTQ mindset as being normative as heterosexuality. So this chaos over here is the same as a man and woman in a covenant marriage relationship. Mm-hmm. And this is being normalized from kindergarten up in all public schools throughout the United States. It's actually mandatory by law in California and Illinois now that this must be taught as a part of history and relating, normal relating. So this is where we are. And then in this revoice, although they would say we're celibate and suffering Christians, they portray themselves as a victim. And in pastoral care, Paul, you know, I've spent years helping people overcome. So I totally understand that many LGBTQ people have suffered and even suffered at the hands of the church. And so we're not without compassion for this. But today we're focusing in on really this kind of silent wave, a tsunami actually hitting the church. And before we know it, a lot of people are going to wake up and go, what on earth is this? Because the leaders in the church have been, since 2010, many, and I could name lots of names, but I won't go into that today, but many of these people have already known and embraced this idea because orientation is rarely changed, which that's not been my experience, and it's not been the experience of the many people that we've ministered to. But they bought into this psychological understanding that orientation, and even if we just take that word and bring the scripture to it, that means the direction, the appetites, and the desires of a human being. Well, God makes it very clear your orientation certainly can change. Your appetites and your desires, especially in your sexuality and your gender, absolutely can have a mentoring and a direction for His divine intention, which was one man and one woman in covenant marriage relating. And this idea that they would actually propose through suffering Christians that their orientation can't change, they are also aligning with the propaganda of the LGBTQ, the propaganda that somehow that gender is fluid. Brother Paul, this thing is upside down. This is literally calling good evil and evil good. And they present it in a very almost mournful way. When you go and watch the videos of the conference, you know, it's like this sadness, this great sadness in which we are doing this conference because we're so misunderstood and we're so hurting over here. And so many pastors and many church leaders are unwilling to even touch it or bring it up because they'll be labeled as a homophobe or a bigot or somebody who is unkind and unloving. And that's the, you know, when you think about the heart of a Christian, that's the last thing a Christian wants to be, is unloving and mm-hmm. unkind. But we need to have a revival of courage in the church to speak forth the truth boldly, because truth boldly is speaking out in love. So we've talked about in the church, especially the last 20 years, it has always been said, now speak the truth in love, speak the truth in love. And rightfully so, because we've had many ministers that would speak on this issue with a disdain and a hatefulness without the understanding of their own depravity, their own sinful state.
Correct.
And so, but now we've swung over to this kind of this passive acceptance. But this is so dangerous.
But you know what this is? You said about the tsunami that's coming. When a tsunami comes, the water all rushes out before it comes back in this huge mass. This is our line of sight. This is what we're looking at now. We know the tsunami is coming. This is the water going out, this revoice, just before the wave comes in, because the fact is that the church, even though there are a few people that speak, the church is the only thing standing in the way of them turning this whole country over to a new point of view that doesn't allow even the the discussion that a gay person has done anything wrong or is guilty of anything or has any need of changing or converting or whatever. And that's what the beginning of Revoice is, the beginning, not the end.
That's right. It's a form of manipulation. And it lays kind of this pathway of subtleness, this kind of deception coming in, because it's coming in with great compassion. And yes, some of these people have really suffered in the church, and mm-hmm. and they do need healing. And I know even in my own life, coming out of homosexuality, you know, I came out 35 years ago with Jesus Christ radically saving me. And before that, lived gay identified for 8 years. So I'm not without compassion on this issue. Mm-hmm. I totally get this issue. But what I have seen in my 30 years plus of ministry now is this growing erosion to now we are at this place in the church, because it has been so normalized, especially in this last generation. Now they're 18 to 25, and some of these into their 30s that have heard their entire life, you're born this way, you're born this way. And now they're hearing it, and they're becoming our leaders, our seminarians, our young Bible teachers. They're coming out of these colleges with the Mark Yarhouse mentality that orientation is rarely changeable. And therefore, if we're going to be really Christ-like, we need to have compassion and acceptance. But what this does is these people that are embracing this label, this word construct, are actually cursing themselves when they put this sinful behavior, this sinful mindset, as a part of their identity in Jesus Christ. And so what this does is it sows a deep discord of unbelief in the church and unbelief in the hearts of these people, to where it traps them in this. And then in their times of temptation, they fall. And they continue to fall. And now we are seeing, even this last week, we saw a major Southern Baptist church leader in a church who was the head of counseling in the Atlanta area. And his wife had contracted cancer 2 years ago, died this last year. And in his grief and suffering, he's decided, you know what, I want to marry a man now. And this is the type of mindset that is going on in the church, that behind the scenes, these people are suffering in their same-sex attraction, and it's being normalized with identity.
Because we're beat to death with every form of visual entertainment, of commercials on TV, of programs that have to include this in. The style of life is glorified to the point that it's made to be an elite form of lifestyle. Now, here's what it's likened to, Steve. If we had a person that we knew was a known murderer, okay? Mm-hmm. I'm not trying to say gay and murder is the same thing, but it's a person that has done something that's so egregious to us, we absolutely know that it's wrong, but we don't want to hurt this person's feeling, so we're going to let this known murderer join our church and be a part of our church and what we're doing, and be welcomed into our society and into our community because we don't want to hurt their feeling. Or a pedophile, someone who preys on children, we don't want to hurt their feelings, so we're going to bring them into our church where our children go, and we're going to allow them to continue the way they do because we don't want to say anything against them to hurt their feelings. And you can go one crime after another. A bank robber, we're going to have all the bank robbers in the church are now going to be the ones who collect the offering.
Yeah, the interesting thing about what you just brought up, of course, the plus sign, and the APA is lower. They want to lower the age of sexual consent, and they want to call people that are instead of pedophilia, they want to call it MAPS and YAPS. That's the acronyms for youth attracted person or minor attracted person. So kind of bringing a dumbing down of the idea of pedophilia, because they don't want to use that word, like sodomy. You know, it's mm-hmm. you know, you can't even use some of these words anymore because people act like you're, you know, trying to harm somebody. So we're lowering these things down and bringing chaos into the minds of people that somehow that this is acceptable. And then it's happening to our young people. Our young people are being taught this, especially when they go to college. And I think one of the statistics I heard from city elders is 80% of our kids that go to secular universities now come out with their faith completely damaged. And so we are at a crisis in our country of this mindset and belief, and specifically in the church. That's what the big problem here is.
Well, they have to take the church out of the picture because the church is a one roadblock, stands in their way.
That's exactly right. And they won't stop. People have been, you know, very naive that once they got gay marriage, it would stop there. No, that's actually the most empowering thing that gives them their idea that we are going to force this as normative as much as heterosexuality.
And it's not a theory anymore. Unless you have not been reading the newspaper and listening to the news recently, New York just passed these laws for their state. You cannot tell these people that it's wrong to live this lifestyle. You can't even object to the lifestyle. You can't counsel them. Any licensed professional who counsels against or tries to convert a homosexual person to a heterosexual person can go to jail, have their license removed, and go to jail. It's not just coming. It's here. It's yes. on us now. You talk about the tsunami. The water just went out. The wave's coming back in.
Yeah, 14 states and 19 in the works of states that want to pass what's called anti-conversion, they're anti-conversion or conversion therapy bans. Now, that's a ruse term, conversion therapy,
right,
to put in the minds of people that somehow there's a fearful, terrible thing that is happening. Here in Oklahoma, we have Representative Jason Dunnington, who has just presented House Bill, I believe it's 2456, and he is... this is the conversion therapy bill. Here's the thing they're not saying, and people are naive to think. Where are all these people that have been harmed? You can't find them.
Right.
When you try to find who their therapist, who their doctor was, where the counseling clinic was, they can't remember, the ones that, you know, parade themselves as victims. And then when you actually start looking into this, what would drive a political agenda to keep all of our youth believing that they must stay gay? Well, bottom line, Paul, that's nothing but recruitment. And people Absolutely. Need to realize they are wanting to recruit all these sexually confused children. And now we know with the advent of the internet, the level of sexual confusion is greater than it's ever been. Molestation is higher than it's ever been. I mean, Oprah's even done shows on this. It is tragic, the level of sexual abuse and sexual distortion hitting our children. So, of course, they're sexually confused. And then you've got this going on from kindergarten up, presenting the idea of gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender, queer. I mean, I'm sorry, but that's what they're presenting in the school.
They don't want this just to be brought up. They want it to be the preferred path.
Absolutely.
That's what they're asking yes. for. And when they get done with this, in New York, you watch this. You watch my words. In New York, in just a few months, you're going to find a pastor who just simply reads Romans chapter 1 from his pulpit is going to go to jail and have his ability to preach jerked out from under him just because of that.
Well, and we've seen it already happening in the United Kingdom, in Denmark, and in Canada. And, you know, I was just in Mexico in November, and the left-leaning party that just got in control, the pastors down there were saying, do you realize what they're wanting? They're wanting a federal law cross the entire country of Mexico to make it illegal to speak out against LGBT. From Christian, from pastor, priest, whatever, you cannot publicly speak out against it.
They're going to get it here, too. It's going to happen in the United States eventually.
Well, we've got it to the neighbors to the north, right, and now our neighbors to the south.
Well, let's talk. We've got just a couple of minutes left. Let's talk about the reaction to this. I want to talk about God's voice. This is a conference that's coming up. It's going to be at Fairview Baptist Church, February the 22nd and 23rd. Now, listen, this is not a little come for a two-hour session and go home and feel good. This is a deep, thorough meeting with some minds that really understand this thing that's going on in our country, that are going to enlighten us as to just how deep we are in the mud right now. I mean, soon the mud waders are not going to be enough to get us through this. And so tell us about God's voice. Who's going to be there? How do you get into this? And what all you're going to entail in this conference?
We've got some great speakers. The lineup. Janet Mefford has her own program here on KQCV.
Yes, she's on KQCV,
and she's a stellar in her ability to communicate and articulate and unpack. And so she's going to share a little bit about the vision behind God's voice, because she was kind of her and her husband and myself and a couple of others mainly Tom Littleton, Reverend Tom Littleton, in unpacking what was going on with Revoice and the need in the church, which is we need to stand up first and courageously appeal to them, call for repentance, and now that they're unwilling to repent, to rebuke it openly. And this is the path of Matthew 18. This is loving. We do need to name names, and we need to call for repentance. So that will be part of it. Janet will also be doing, emceeing some of the Q&A, which is some of the lively. Tom Littleton is the one who broke some of this, the story, and connecting the dots as an investigative reporter, as a Southern Baptist minister himself, seeing how some of these dots connected. Peter LaBarbera will be sharing about LGBTQ history and why this has been permeating the church. Yours truly, myself, I will be sharing very gospel-centered, biblical teaching. I'm going to unpack the scriptures about orientation and change, and then I'm going to unpack closing up with a message about salvation and what does it really mean to be saved and what does it look like from the scripture about change. And then we have a therapist, David Pickup, who's going to be talking about these conversion therapy bands. And we've got a beautiful worship leader. His name is Dennis Jernigan. Many people know him. He's awesome. He's written literally thousands of worship songs, and his songs are played all over the world. And so we've got a great lineup. Dan Fisher, who's the co-pastor there now at Fairview, will also be a part of this. And so I'm very excited. We also have a PCA pastor, Al Baker, who's going to be talking to us about what's happening in the PCA church.
That's the Presbyterian Church of America.
Yes. And so, you know, they can get online at God's, with the S, voice, godsvoice.us. That's to parallel. They had a website called revoice.us. Well, this is godsvoice.us. And so we are wanting to humbly come and bring biblical truth, and hopefully in the fear of the Lord and the holiness of God, that we offer his perspective in love. Mm-hmm. And then there'll be testimonies, and we really do need to end on this. Brother, there is hope. There are hope for parents. Mm-hmm. There's hope for family members. There is hope for change. And these Revoice people have not offered much hope. And we need to give the body of Christ.
Well, we have been called to be a watchman on the wall, to stand and look ahead, look out and see what's coming and warn our people. Listen, if you're a pastor, you need to check into this and be there, because you've got to know what's coming and you have to know how to talk to your people about it. If you're a parent and your kids are in public school, your kids are being taught from the kindergarten this philosophy, this idea that this type of thing is okay. parents, you've got to be talking to your kids. And if you don't know how, then you need to be in this conference so you can learn to how to express yourself and how to talk to your kids about this. But it's important. If we stand by, this is not going to be like a lot of things that we've done in the past. We say, oh, this is America, and it can never happen here. Brother and sister, it's already happened here. Our goose is already cooked. If we don't figure out what's going on and find a way to stand in the gap for the Lord, we're going to be washed over and washed out to sea. So tell us again the contact, just really quickly. God's Voice, what's the website and the phone number?
www.godsvoice.us.
One word.
Yeah, and it's also, you can also get to it through firststone.org. And so, and then the, you know, register there, and you can see all the details online. The speakers, the schedule, everything is online.
February 22nd through then 23rd. It's all evening long and all day long Saturday.
That's correct.
So be prepared to come. Get in touch with your pastor and have him show up. Stephen Black,
thank you for being with us today. Thank you so much.
Thank you for taking on this, though. Yeah.
We have to talk about this. Yeah. Thank you so much.
God bless you, brother.
God bless you.
We hope you've enjoyed this special edition of Encounter here on Bot Radio Network. Email us with any comments to kqcv@botradionetwork.com.